Even in the Word of God, there's many, and in the Bible, there's many indications that God has special times, certain times that He does things. The Bible talks about seasons, and we as believers, we experience seasons of blessings. That's in agreement with God's timing. But even during life and on this life's journey, we believe God for all various things in life. As we move forth towards our purpose and our destiny, we have to understand that God is always working a work in our lives. Even before we became born again, He had a time for us. That at some point or another we will receive the good news of the gospel and hear the word, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and accept Him as our Lord and Savior, whatever time that is. And the Holy Spirit has a way of speaking to us, doesn't matter what our age is, praise the Lord. And so it was God's timing that I received Jesus Christ at that time and age in life. But I said that to say this because I preached many times and I've seen people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've seen some people come to Jesus Christ in the evening of their lives. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Yes. Some on their sick beds of affliction. Others during the evening of their life. And I say that to say that I've had a few people come to me even at 50, 60, 70 years old. Say, I wish I would have known about Jesus Christ when I was younger. I say, that's all right, brother. God has a special timing. And the time that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ was the right time. Whatever that time may be. You may be 80 years old and accept Jesus Christ. That was God's timing. Yes. Amen. So God has a perfect time. Somebody say perfect time. Perfect timing. And so that's why we as believers in the body of Christ, we want to bring ourselves in agreement with His timing, because God knows what He's doing in our lives. Sometimes we want God to do it right now, but God is waiting for a reason. He's orchestrating some things. He put some things together so that it can be even more glorious and He can get even a greater glory. Amen. After people see, after you've been testifying about what God is going to do all this time, and some begin to question whether or not God is really going to do it. Just like Abraham and Sarah. Amen. They start talking about them because they kept on talking about what God was going to do. Amen. It hadn't happened yet, but God had a timing for it. And I'll talk about the disasters of not bringing ourselves in line with God and getting ahead of God or getting behind God. We want to be right in sync with what God is doing. Amen. Amen. So God's plan and design is perfect for you and you only. That means God has wrote out, if you will, a special plan for your life. Nobody else has He written that plan but you. Somebody say, but me. That's how personal He is. Praise the Lord. A special plan just for you. What did He say? I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans to do what? To bless you. Amen. And to give you what? An expected end. So He has a timing, amen. Don't give up on God. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. And keep on obeying. We'll talk about those three things in a minute. But when God's plans meet your purpose, everything works out to the glory of God. Amen. In other words, you know, sometimes we may go through challenges, but after everything is said and done, it's going to turn out to be a blessing. In fact, sometimes God will give you double for your trouble, if you will. Amen. Everything is going to work out right. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and called according to His purpose. Amen. You can take it to the bank. If God said He's going to do it, He's going to do it. Yes. But He has a timing. Why is it so important with God? Timing. Habakkuk, the second chapter, tells us this, and this is the scripture we've used many times here at this church. The Bible said, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. Even the visions that God gives you and me, amen, as individuals, He gives us visions too, praise the Lord. As believers in the body of Christ, has an appointed time. God can show you something. God can put something in your spirit. God can show you something. He can give you a dream. He can give you a vision. He can give you something in life that He shows you is going to happen. And here in Habakkuk, just as we believe that at this church, amen, God said the vision is for an appointed time. In other words, God gives it to you, but He has a timing where it's going to come to pass. God has given me a vision for this church. And we're walking and believing the Lord. We're walking by faith and continue to do all the things that God called us to do. But we listen, what God has said is coming to pass. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says here, for still the vision awaits. So that dream He showed you, it's waiting. Touch your neighbor and say, it's waiting. The vision He showed you and me, you waiting. That's all that's going on. Amen. And He's not going to make us be ashamed.
That's right.
Amen. He's just not going to do that. It's not even possible for him because he made a promise. And he's the Lord God Almighty. And he is the one that has the power to bring it to pass. But we have to understand that when it comes to pass, he's going to get the glory.
Amen, sir.
Amen.
Amen. And not going to be a shadow of a doubt in anybody's mind that the Lord did it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So keep on confessing. Don't change your confessing. Keep on believing God. Uh-huh. And so it says here, the vision awaits its appointed time. So don't give up on God. Just keep on waiting because it has an appointed time. It has an appointed seat and it has a fullness of time to come. And it says it hastens to the end. In other words, the Bible says that God hastens to perform his word. And so when it said it hastens to the end, that may sound a little confused, but let me just show you what it's talking about. Because when God gives you a word, when God gives you a promise, there's something that comes along with that word. There's something that comes along with that promise. In other words, if you promise something, then what comes along with it is God's backing. Mm-hmm. And the Bible said God hastens to perform. So when he's hastened to bring whatever it is in this vision in his appointed time, hasten, when he said he hastened to perform his word, that's like God makes us a promise. He grabs holds to it. Here we go now. You believe God now. God grabs hold to it and he walks it through.
Amen.
That's what it means. He hastens. He walks it through to perform it. So that what that means. Now hear me now. No devil, no demon, no plans of the devil or anybody else that may be trying to orchestrate something against you behind your back is not going to prosper.
Amen, amen.
Oh, glory to God. Say it's not going to prosper because God is on your side. And so, amen, sometimes people may be doing things and thinking they're doing things all right, but we need to know that God is walking this thing through. And you tell me who can stand against God? Who? What can stand against God?
Nothing.
So just remember, there's an appointed time. God is walking it through. Even when the devil try to put doubt in your mind, or try to have you to believe it may not happen or when it's going to happen, just grab, just say, oh, God is hastening to perform it. God is walking it through.
Yes.
Just say it. God is walking it through. Woo, glory. Amen. God is walking it through. If it seems slow, the Bible says in Habakkuk, the second chapter, wait. There it is. If it seems like it's slow, wait. Have you ever been there? God gave you a vision, a dream, or put something on your spirit, and it seems like sometime it's slow in coming. God says in his word, wait for it. That means wait, whatever how long it takes, that's how long you wait. Abraham and Sarah had to wait 24 years before God brought it to pass. That's a long time to wait, 24 years. But are we willing to wait on God? Whatever that timing is, the Bible says it will surely come. There it is. Don't doubt. The Bible said it will surely come. It will not delay. For when that time comes and God said now, it's going to happen suddenly.
Amen. Now.
In other words, all along the time, everything around it is going to look as if it's not going to come to pass. Every indication looks like it's not going to happen. Then suddenly, when everybody's saying, well, it's just not going to happen, you might as well give up. You might as well hang your hat. Amen. You might as well throw in a towel. It doesn't look like it. Even at the worst point where it don't look like it's going to happen, it's going to happen suddenly. That's what he's saying. Somebody say suddenly. God says it surely will come and it will not delay. Somebody said, well, that's a contradiction. Just say it's slow, but wait now, saying it surely will come and will not delay. It's not a contradiction. God said that suddenly it's going to happen. Amen. When you least expect it, God is going to tap you on the back and say, here it is. Now, the beautiful thing is not going to be a secret when God brings the path. Everybody going to know it.
Amen.
My Bible said, men and women going to look around at you and call you blessed. I know people may be talking right now, but don't you listen, because God is going to call you blessed, and people going to call you blessed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then he's going to cause you to be a blessing.
Yes. Right now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So don't you believe what the devil is saying. Keep on trusting the Lord. God's timing is very important. And so that brings me to the point of this. There are blessings and pitfalls in walking or not walking in God's timing. So let's take a look at that. Galatians, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse, says this, but when the fullness of time has come. So here it is again. We see an indication of timing. Amen. Fullness of time. That means the timing was the right time. Amen. Things have transpired and taken place, and then the fullness of time came. The appointed time came. When the fullness of time came. The Old Testament talked about Jesus coming, but when the fullness of time came. It was prophesied he would come. It was prophesied that you would receive this thing. It was prophesied that it would happen. And in the fullness of time had come, God did something about it. What did he do? He kept his promise and did what? Sent forth his son, born of a woman, born up under the law, to do what? To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. It was prophesied. God showed us. Now we have to walk this thing through until the fullness of time. Then God steps in and does something about it.
Amen.
God's timing. So, but the pitfalls, my brothers and sisters, of not walking in his timing. In other words, we have to be careful about saying it's not happening soon enough. So I got to help God out. Beware. Don't do that. Don't do it. Just wait on it. Because we cause a disaster to happen when we get before God. Wait on him. And so we have to understand, but in order to do that, we have to be willing to put ourselves in a position not to reject God's plans, because God has plans for our life. And he's working these things out for a reason and a purpose. So we can't reject what God is doing for us. He can't reject what God is doing in our life simply because he's not doing it the way that we think that he should do them. That's not faith. I'll talk about that in a minute. But to reject God's plans for our life is to reject, here it is, God's best for you. In other words, to say, God, I can't wait on you. Amen. I'm going to help you out a little bit. Then pitfalls and disasters come in our life, because now either we will forfeit our blessings or cause our blessings not to happen. So we have to wait on God.
Amen.
Because to reject God's timing is to reject the best that he has for you. He knows what's best in his infinite wisdom, who have created us and know all about us and know all about our lives and our purpose and our destiny and where we're headed. He knows the way. And also, to reject God's timing, you reject everything good God has in store for you, even if you have to wait for it. Wait. God's timing cannot be substituted. In other words, we can't take something else and replace it. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes,
let me replace this, because it's not happening. Amen. Let me substitute your blessing. Let me replace it with my own ideas of what should work. Never usually end up the way that God wants it to be.
Amen.
By not submitting to his timing, we subject ourselves to disaster results. Let's take a look at them. It says in Genesis, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Let me read it. You know the story well. The Bible said, now Sarai, Abraham's wife. Who? Sarai. It was Sarai before it was Sarah. In Genesis the 6th. And it says here, had borne him no children. In other, see, I wanted us to understand something. Because naturally, Sarah was not able to bear any children. See, and that's the reason why we need to understand something. God has the prerogative to overrule what's even happening in nature. Some people say it can't happen because thus and so, and that's not logical. Well, God is not subject to logic. God is not subject to nature. God can overrule it.
That's right. Amen.
Sarah couldn't have any children, the Bible says, but he made Sarah and Abraham a promise.
Yes.
Right? And it says here, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. And so Sarah said to Abraham, see now, Abraham, the Lord have restrained me from bearing children.
Right.
See, there's the pitfall. There's the danger. because it hadn't happened yet, and naturally it looked like she was getting old now, and she was past the age of being able to bear children. Praise God. But God is not subject to that. If he makes us a promise, it's going to happen. Right? So she went to Abraham and said, Abraham, you know, really, the Lord have restrained me from bearing any children. She says, please go to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. Substitute. See, God will have no substitution for his blessing. God will have no substitution for what he has promised, what he has said, what he has designed. God had designed that Sarah and Abraham would have a child. Amen. Eventually, his name would be Isaac, not Ishmael. Somebody say Isaac, not Ishmael. Isaac, not Ishmael. God will have no substitute. We know the rest of the story. Amen. Because Abraham did everything. Amen. And they bore a child now, Ishmael. And Abraham pleaded with God, please accept Ishmael as a substitute. God said, I will not. Because I got a whole plan, and everything will be thrown up if I accept Ishmael. Woo, rather than you allow me to do what I'm going to do to bless this whole world with Isaac.
God's plan. Amen.
And look, you talk about what's going on over in the Far East right now with ISIS and all this going on. All of that, what we're seeing right? Ah, come on, somebody say amen. Everything we're seeing on the news today is a result of what happened with Abraham right here. I said, what are you talking about? Amen, amen, amen. From Ishmael came all of these various tribes that we see over there right now in the Far East. All this war that's going on. Conflict between them and others. Amen, between them and Israel. That's the result of this right here, what I'm preaching today. Amen, because Abraham. See, because you talk to many of them, they're offspring of Abraham too. Yes, they are. A lot of people don't realize that. They are also Abraham's seed. But they came from through another line, through Hagar. And see, when you get before God, you just mess everything up. Because right after, let's read the story. See, right after, you know, Abraham heeded to Sarah, amen, and Abraham went in, and the Bible said that the Egyptian woman, amen, gave birth, amen, and it says here, so the Lord had restrained, and Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. And that's the reason why a husband and wife always have to be in agreement.
All right.
Come on, somebody say amen. Then Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. There it is. Mm-hmm. It says, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. You know, kind of looking at her like, you know, under eye. Sarah couldn't deal with that. But remember, it was Sarah's suggestion. Now, they created something. A mess. Now it got to the point where it was conflict in the house between her and Hagar. Amen. Her child and her child, and then she went to Abraham and said, she got to go. Abraham said, no, no, no. Amen. I love my child. She said, I'm sorry, but amen. She looking at me all kind of funny and everything, and, you know, she despising me. You know, she got to go. And guess what? She had to go. Amen. All of this happened because they got ahead of God. So we know the rest of the story.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. There was conflict in the house, and eventually Abraham had to agree. But God said, don't worry about it. I will bless Ishmael, and I will bless his offspring. Be careful about cursing even those who are in the Far East.
That's right.
A lot of people don't realize that, but they're seeds of Abraham, and God said, I'm going to bless them too.
Amen.
Yes. But I have a plan, through a redemptive plan, and it's going to come through the lineage of Isaac and Israel. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we can't get ahead of God. Psalm 25:3 says, no one who hopes in you, O Lord, will ever be put to shame. So if your hope is in the Lord, amen, you'll never be put to shame. If you're waiting on God, amen, and everything around you says it's not going to happen, God said you will never be put to shame. And it goes on to say, but shame will come on those. Remember, I said it's disastrous now to not put ourselves in agreement with God. Mm-hmm. Shame will come upon those who are treacherous without a cause and also unwilling to continue to hope and wait on the Lord. Amen. So there's disaster comes when we don't want to wait on God, but there's blessings come when we're willing to wait. Because God said wait on him because he's not going to make you be ashamed. Come on. Let me read on. And so now let's look at another example. We know about Saul and you know, Saul's failure to wait on God's timing. It's over in 1 Samuel 13 and 8 says he waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel the prophet. Amen. Set a time. Amen. And they were getting ready to go to war. Praise the Lord. And Saul was a little bit nervous, you know. So, but when you believe God and know he gives you the victory, you're not worried about your enemy surrounding you.
That's right.
You know you serve a greater God that's going to protect you.
Yes.
But Saul got a little bit nervous. The same one that they decided to make him king because he looked like a king. Listen, you can't put a person in a position because they look like their leader. No, God looks on the heart. Man lives on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And here we see a result of that. They want him a king. God said, okay, go right ahead. And it's the same man now, amen, who couldn't wait on God's timing. He couldn't. He heard the word from Samuel say, wait. And it wasn't happening when he thought it should happen. So what happened? The Bible says Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. That's what happens. If you don't believe God, amen, hallelujah, it's hard to lead.
Yes.
Verse 9, and he said, bring me burnt offerings and the fellowship of offerings. Uh-huh. And Saul offered the burnt offering. Let me stop a minute because we got to understand something. Amen. Amen. God had placed Samuel in the position, amen, as prophet to minister to the people. It was not Saul's place to do that. And so God's representative hadn't come back yet. And so Saul decided he was going to do it on his own. And so Saul said, I saw Samuel do it, and surely I can do it just like he did. All he did was light the fire and get on his knees. And so he thought he can do it too. So what'd he do? Amen. Verse 10, it said, and just as he finished making the offering, isn't that something? Now here comes the prophet of God. He didn't show up, amen, when Saul thought he should, but right after he, you know, he showed that he wasn't willing to wait on God. Now here comes the prophet.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hmm?
Now God allowed him to get back.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And so what had happened, I'm going to read on. It says, and Samuel, when Samuel arrived, Saul went out to greet him. And look what Samuel said. Samuel said, what have you done? Woo, glory to God.
What have you done?
You have just placed yourself in the very place that I'm talking about because you were unwilling to wait on God. See, waiting on God means that challenges are going to come. It means that it may not happen when we think it's going to happen. But don't get ahead of God. The prophet got back and say, Saul, what have you done? Mm-hmm. And Saul replied, here it is, listen. When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines, our enemies, were assembling, amen, against us, uh-huh, I didn't have a choice, right? And so he said, I thought now the Philistines would come down against me. There it is, me. He left God out. See, because it wasn't possible they can come against them when God was on their side. He said, I have not sought the Lord's favor. Mm-hmm. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. There it is. He said, I had no choice. Amen. It wasn't happening the way I thought it should happen, when I thought it should happen. So I thought I'd get ahead of God. I couldn't wait for the prophet. Amen. So I offered it up myself. And that's a dangerous place. That's a whole message in itself. That means, well, I can just do that. No, you can't. Not if God didn't call you to do it. Because if you stand in a place where God have not called you, woo, woe is you. Come on, let me move on. And it says here in verse 13, he said, you acted foolishly. He did what? Acted foolishly, he said. He said, you have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, that he gave you. He said, if you had, he would have, here it is, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. Mm-hmm. This is going somewhere now. Verse 14, it says, but now, somebody say, but now, he said, your kingdom will not endure. There's the disaster. Uh-huh. He said, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader over his people. In other words, God said he's going to remove Saul and he's going to replace him with a leader that has after his own heart. Because you have not kept the Lord's commands. It's a disastrous thing not to wait on God. We can lose all kind of blessings because we're unwilling to wait on God. But then there's blessings. Somebody say blessings. There's blessings in walking in God's timing. So we must bring ourselves in agreement with God's timing. It means to bring yourself into God's blessings. And I think that if you were to draw a correlation graph, your greatest blessing are in direct correlation with God's timing. Sometimes, amen, you had to wait. But in the times of your greatest blessings, God came through because you were trusting God and waiting patiently on him. The psalmist said, I waited patiently on the Lord. And he inclined unto my call and heard and answered my prayer. By walking in God's perfect timing and being willing to wait on him brings countless blessings and joy in life's journey. Lamentations 3:25 and 26 says, the Lord, somebody say the Lord, is good to those who wait for him. There it is.
Yes, the word is one.
Bible said he is good to who? Those who wait on him. To the person who seeks him.
Yes.
You got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things. Seek him first.
Yes.
Don't just seek him. You got to diligently seek him. Because
yes.
My God tell me he is a rewarder of those who diligent. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
You got to diligently seek him. While you're waiting. See, God is doing something in us. Because we're drawing closer to him. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, it is good. Good. I'm going to say, I really shouldn't have to go there. I'm a child of God. Oh, yes, you do. God doesn't raise no spoiled children. You got to go through something. In this life, you will experience some trials and tribulations. But be of good courage, God says. Come on. Somebody say amen. God didn't say if you go through the fire. He said when you go through. He didn't say if you go through the river. He said when you go through.
Yes.
Well, we get this whole theology that say we shouldn't have to go through anything. We're going to go through something. But the question is, what do we do when we go through?
Amen.
What do you do when God is perfecting you? Somebody said, well, I once heard one person say, well, there's no redemptive plan in me going through. Oh, yes, there is. The Bible said, wait. The Bible said, let patience have its perfect will.
Wow.
Sound redemptive to me?
Yes. Character. Amen.
Building character and faith and trust in the Lord by you waiting on him. Because sometimes we get it too soon. Next time we fail to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't have to wait for him. We didn't have to go through anything. Somebody shout and say amen. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait on the Lord shall do what? Renew our strength. Praise God. If we get weak sometime, just wait on God and he'll renew your strength. He didn't say that he'll just take you out so you don't have to experience it. He said he'll renew your strength. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
They shall mount up with wings. Sometimes you may feel like you can't fly, but you just wait on God. But my God tell me you gonna mount up with wings as an eagle. You know anything about an eagle? An eagle can fly high.
Amen.
An eagle can soar.
Yes.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, so while you're waiting, God gives you confidence, amen, because you can soar even while you're going through what you're going through.
Amen.
They shall mount up with wings of the eagle. They shall run. They shall run. They shall run. Ain't no time to get tired. Ain't no time to give up. Ain't no time to turn around. You got to keep on running. Come on, you can't get to your blessings for turning around. Amen. And I won't give up. I'm going to keep on pushing. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on running. Bible said they shall run and not be weary. Come on, talk to me, somebody in this place. God said he will renew your strength and you will not get weary. You will not lose heart.
Amen.
And when my Bible said they shall walk and they shall not faint. Psalm 27 and 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Why? Because he shall do what? Here it is again. Strengthen thine heart. That's what he'll do. He'll strengthen your heart that you can go on through. It says, wait for the second time, I say, on the Lord. There's blessings in waiting on God. Now, let me give you three things that's very important in the context of God's timing. And number one, there must be trust in God's timing and God's plan for what he's doing for us, through us, and in our lives. There first have to be trust. Trust in the Lord. You got to trust the Lord first. See, you can't wait if you don't understand and believe that God ultimately has a better plan for me. See, so if you believe that God has something better for you in his infinite wisdom, I'll be willing to wait. I'll be willing to trust God despite what I go through, despite what it looks like. Amen. I'm going to trust the Lord. It says, so shall thy word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty. It shall accomplish which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing that I sent it. Mm-hmm. So whatever God says, it's going to happen. So we have to trust the Lord even when we cannot understand the way he takes us or the timing when he brings a thing to pass. And Galatians 15 and 6 says this. And Abraham believed the Lord, trusted him. And the Bible says, and he was credited to him for righteousness. Did you see that? So if you believe God, if you keep on trusting, God is going to credit your account.
Thank you, God.
Woo, glory to God. Come on, somebody say amen. I said God will credit your account. Mm-hmm. For blessings, for righteousness. Amen. In his wisdom and knowledge by which he knows why he created us and the plans that he has for us, we must trust him that he has our best interest in mind. Psalms 33 and 4 says, for the word of the Lord is right and it's true. He is faithful in all that he does. God is faithful. Mm-hmm. Verse 5 says, and the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth, here it is full of his unfailing love. So that tells me that God loves you and he loves me so much that he hadn't forgotten about you. Come on. He's working something out. Psalms 9 and 10 says those who know, you got to know his name. You can't go on nobody else's experience. Praise God. You got to know.
Amen.
If nobody else you know, you got to know his name. We'll trust in you, O Lord. Have here it is. Have never forsaken those who seek you. So if you seek the Lord, amen, you know that he's going to do it. You trust him without a doubt. Praise God. He will not forsake you. Even when I am afraid, I will trust in him. Psalms 56 and 3. It says, when I am afraid, I will trust you, O Lord. Second thing, I said trust, now obedience. Not only do you have to trust the Lord, amen, in order to walk through, to fulfill God's timing and plans in our life, then second of all, we have to be obedient. Amen. Not enough to trust him, but not obey him. I trust him. Amen. But when he say wait or tell me to do something, I go to the contrary. He tells me to take one path, but I take another path. No, I got to be obedient to what he said. He leads me in the path of righteousness.
Yes.
Psalm 13 and 5 say, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. This kind of trust in the Lord leads to obedience and walking in his path. Somebody say his path. For when you walk in obedience to God's timing, God will guide your steps and cause you to delight in the way that he takes you despite what it looks like. Psalm 37 and 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Praise the Lord. That means we can delight in our way. We can continue to bless God, be obedient to his word, walk in his obedience and in his perfect timing, and we will delight in his way. The third thing is faith. Trust, obedience, and faith. You got to trust him, you got to obey him, and then you got to have some faith. Huh? Faith is being sure. Somebody say sure.
Sure.
Sure. You know, like the commercial. You got to be sure. Commercials say raise your arm if you're sure, but I say raise your hands if you're sure.
Sure.
Come on, somebody say amen. I'm sure. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Amen.
That means you may not be able to see it yet, but your faith said that I'm going to trust and believe God. Amen. It may not feel like it. Amen. It may not look like it, but my faith says that God's timing is best and I'm going to wait.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Genesis 15 and 8 says, the scriptures foresaw. There it is. Faith will cause you to foresee things. Foresee that God is going to bring something greater in your life. Amen. That God will justify the Gentiles by faith. There it is. He's going to justify you. And it says, and announce the gospel in advance. See, God is like that. Praise God. He'll announce your victory before it happens.
Amen.
That's faith.
Amen.
And believe that.
Amen.
All nations through you shall be blessed. And those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So faith believes and foresees the promises that he being revealed in our lives. In order to walk in God's timing, you have to have faith. Faith will give you the tools to wait for God's perfect plan to unfold in your life. So let's conclude. So my brothers and sisters, God, not just timing. You hear some people say timing is everything. No, listen to me. God's timing is everything. Mm-hmm. With God and our relationship with him. So get to know him. Amen. Whatever your age is, whether young or old, get to know him. And so you got to get connected with God through prayer, devotion, meditation. You got to ask God's direction in your life. Do you ever do that? When things don't happen, do you consult the Lord and say, dear God, lead me in the path, show me the way, help me to make the decision that I'm making? Huh? Don't get ahead of him, or don't even get behind him. Praise the Lord. Be sensitive to God's warning and direction. Sometimes he'll warn us, and sometimes he'll direct us. In other words, he'll warn us or he'll show us the way to go, which way to turn. Uh-huh. Trust him in his wisdom for our life, and then be willing to wait if necessary. Have a disposition for obedience when it does not agree with our plans. God has a perfect timing in our life. He has an appointed time. He has a fullness of time. He has great blessings for us if we're only willing to wait. Let me close with this again. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen our heart. And most certainly, God will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Saints.